Tim Laird.
Hey, Kim, this is Jim.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
I'm Chuck, too, Kim. This is Will.
Hello, Will.
Chuck is here, too.
Hey, Chuck. Am I that late today? I'm here.
John Satriano.
Hi, John.
Hello.
Ursula.
Don Lewis.
Hello, this is Don.
Hello, Don. It's Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Holly's here.
Hi, Holly.
Hi.
And we have Jim and Will. And we're waiting on Sandy and Bob. Did I hear Jerry in there? Jerry, are you here?
Guess not.
Okay, Holly and John Satriano. Is Chuck here yet?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Chuck. I thought I heard you say that. It's been a long day.
It's okay.
Just getting done dealing with 27 kids. So. Sandy Brown. Hello, Sandy.
Hey, Kim.
Hi, Sandy. It's Don.
Hi, Don.
And we have Jim and Will and Chuck, Holly and John here so far.
Hello.
Hey, Jim.
Hello. Was that me?
Yeah. Hi, Jim. It's Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Hey, listen, did you go to Arkansas?
Did I go to Arkansas? I haven't been since Christmas.
No, weren't you going to go to the Arkansas Festival? Oh, that's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's coming up next month, but I'm not able to go.
Oh, no. I just sent Deb Henderson, some DVDs.
Yeah, yeah. I went about 5 or 6 years ago, and it's a very small festival, but definitely well worth going. They've got a great facility.
Yeah, yeah. I really like Deb Henderson a lot.
Yeah.
You know, she's a cancer survivor. She's had breast cancer the last 2 years.
I did not know that.
Yes, yes. And she's kept in touch with me, and she's really a sweetheart.
Yeah. Her and Joel both are good people.
Yeah, yeah, they are.
Martin.
Hi, Martin.
Hi.
Hello, Martin. I guess we're still waiting on Jerry Martin and Bob Newman.
And so Martin and John, while I have you here, the festival brochure and order form, did we send that out to all previous members, or did we just go back to a certain date, or how did that
work? We went back a long ways. We went back to like 1997.
Okay.
All members since about 1997.
I just went to the P.O. box.
I'm sorry. All U.S. members since 1997 and all Canadian members since 2000, I think.
Okay. 99 of them were returned.
Save those so we can
scratch
out their addresses.
Yeah. How many do you think we sent, out of curiosity, of just former members?
Well, I used to know that number. John, do you remember? Several thousand.
2,800 seems to be.
3,200 or 3,600,
yeah.
Something like that.
Right around there, yeah.
I was just curious what our percentage rate is of bad addresses. So.
99 out of 3,600 isn't too bad, but of course they just went out a week ago.
And 31 of them are the forwarding time has expired, and they do have forwarding addresses, so I can change those. But the others
Great.
Are just unable to forward.
So. Yeah, well, that's not bad. You got a third of them. I'm sure that because these addresses are 10 years. Some of these addresses are 10 years old.
Right.
I'm not at all surprised that we got returns. I was sort of hoping we would get those addresses and save them. Cross them off.
when we do get them, we should at least mark the database as not good anymore.
Right.
Yeah, we'll take them out, Jim.
I think we should just obliterate the addresses and leave the record.
Yeah. We don't have a place in the database for a previous address, do we? We have one for a previous email address. But
no, we don't.
I think since those have bounced legitimately from the post office, we just cross them off.
Yeah, we can assume that that address is not going to be valid anymore.
Yep.
Well, tomorrow, Modern Litho is going to hand deliver to me the remainder that are to come to me to go to festivals, et cetera.
Cool. I just went back through my emails. I remembered Bob Newman will not be here tonight. It is his daughter's birthday.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, right.
So I just realized that. So it's just Jerry Martin we're waiting on.
And we haven't heard from him as to whether he would or would not make it.
No, and I've sent him several emails. So
okay.
And I've been.
Seemed to be his preferred method of corresponding.
Well,
I'm not sure there is a method.
I've called him as well. I just called him last night and left a voice message and have not heard back from him yet. So let's say we get this.
Are we recording automatically now, Dave?
Yeah, we are, and that's because there was a problem at the last meeting with recording.
Right.
The last meeting was not recorded, so...
So recording is going on right now.
Yeah, AccuConference suggests that we go to automatic recording, and then that if there was something, you know, that for whatever reason, we still have control over the recording, so if we need to stop it for whatever reason, we can still do that.
So you can stop it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right. Meeting's called to order at, I have 8:06. And roll call. Kim Laird is present. Sandy Brown?
Here.
Don Lewis?
Here.
Jerry Martin? Not yet. Jim Maxwell?
Here.
Bob Newman is absent. Will Penman?
Here.
Holly Greeley?
Here.
John Satriano?
Here.
Fest Director, and Martin Frost, Communications, and Chuck Hawley, Recording Secretary.
Here.
Okay. Anyone that I missed? Okay. If not, approval of this agenda. Are there any corrections or additions that we need to make to this? There is one addition I'd like to make at some point that came in from Holly after the agenda had been done, but I think it's important enough for us to put on here, and that is approving a purchase of a new credit card machine so that she can run that. Is anyone opposed to us adding that onto the agenda?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Once we get toward the end, I'll have a motion for that. Do we want to add on also the approval of Philip Gree as chief teller, or do we want to hold that off until the April meeting?
I'd hold it off until the April meeting so there can be discussion on the open forum.
That's fine. Sounds good. I just wanted to open it up here for, you know, in case you wanted to do it now.
When there are people in the meantime, let's see. Okay, I guess that won't impede anything that's happening in the meantime, is it? Will it?
No, it shouldn't.
Okay.
Jim, you wanted me to say something about the phone project. Does that need to be reflected in the agenda? I didn't notice it on the reports.
Well, I was just going to say we can put it under the reports very quickly. Because that's just going to be a report. There's nothing there to approve or that.
Uh-huh.
So we'll just add the phone program on the end of the report. Okay, anything else from anyone? If not, I'd like the agenda to pass by unanimous consent. Is the agenda approved? Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the agenda is passed by unanimous consent. Previous minutes, the minutes from February 21st. Any changes or corrections that we need to do to that? Okay, if not, I'd like those to be approved by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? Abstentions? Okay, the previous minutes are approved by unanimous consent. On to reports, starting with festivals. John?
Hello.
Hello. Do you have anything on festivals for us?
Yeah, I got a few things, and a couple of things that are going to need discussion eventually. Tom Renegade would like to run 4 shows this year. We advertised 3. But this is their 21st year of Renegade, and he wants to have kind of a special show on Saturday night, which he's able to do since we don't have a cascade of stars that night. You know, we're just doing an awards banquet and a party, and I don't see any problem with putting on a show that night. So nobody else sees a problem with it. We'll put on 4 Renegade shows this year.
How long do you expect the banquet and party to go?
The banquet, you know, will probably be 2 hours, an hour and a half, 2 hours. At the party, we'll go until we get tired.
Or until we get ready to go to Renegade.
Exactly.
Right. That's a good idea.
And everybody will be all liquored up on the way already.
Can we have Renegade where the party is?
No.
Renegade, we have shored up. Almost entirely. Keith Nelson, the director of Bindlestiff Family Circus, mm-hmm. is a Winston-Salem native. He grew up there. And he was there recently, just maybe 2 weeks ago, and went and toured the Millennium. He confirmed that it was absolutely ideal for Renegade purposes. But the Millennium is a banquet center next door to the convention center. And it's an ideal place. It's a converted, able to give us an upstairs room that Keith toured and confirmed is also good for Medicaid.
It's a noise that sounds like someone blowing into their microphone. Everybody hearing that?
It sounds like wind.
There's wind where I'm at. How do you silence your speaker again? 4?
Yes.
Star 4, star 6.
Star 4 is to decrease the volume.
Do you want to mute your...
You don't want to decrease the volume.
He wants to...
No, I just want to mute it.
Star 6.
Yeah, star
6. Star 6? Okay.
And then say something and see if we hear it.
We'll say...
Okay, that worked.
Okay. Thanks,
right.
Will.
Does anybody have a problem with 4 Renegade shows?
I don't think anybody will have a problem with that.
Absolutely not. I'd love it.
Hey, this is Chuck here. I got a question. Is it referred to as Renegade shows now, or is it Midnight shows, or...?
No, this year it's going to be Renegade shows.
Okay.
Yeah. Next, I have all my... festival directors set except for an auction director.
Except for what, Don?
Auction.
Oh.
And at this point, it's starting to occur to me whether we really need an auction. And maybe that's just something we should open up for discussion now. I've been unable to locate an auction director. So if we really feel that we need one, I'm going to need some help finding an auction director. Next up, we're starting to look for sponsors. Scott Plappinger has agreed to be a sponsor for us. He has a friend who is an expert, 10 years running her own nonprofit organization. She's an expert in fundraising and membership. We've had one meeting so far. She gave me a ton of ideas, and she's willing to work with us just on a friendly basis. And help us along with that. So Scott's going to be out looking for sponsorship money, basically for sponsors in the Winston area. We have a new guest. We're probably going to get a German club passing team called Catch the Shoe. They do very, very creative and actually amazing club passing act. You got to see it to believe it. And there's a possibility, and this is just a possibility, But apparently Lottie Brunn and Natalie Enterline have been talking about doing a presentation about Francis at this festival. So Alan Howard is kind of running that down to me, and I'm willing to give that kind of red carpet treatment if it will. The last talk about pre-registration. Pre-registration is open. We've extended the deadline to April 25th. We haven't had a lot of sign-ups yet. Registration, I think it's only around 25. But that doesn't surprise me because has anybody gotten their magazine yet?
No.
No.
No. Okay. So that doesn't surprise me yet. However, we're having problems with Jerry and communications problems, and I'm starting to get worried that that things are not going well with pre-registration. I'm wondering what we can do to give Jerry some backup, at this point he seems to be almost totally out of communication, and pre-registration is going nowhere.
As a past festival director, I am extremely worried about this, and feel as though we really need to see if Jerry needs some help, or I'd like to talk to the board about this, because we can't wait on finding a solution for this. We have got to get things going now.
Yeah.
So
it's nice to get this shored up before the flood comes in a week or two.
Yeah.
Anybody have any suggestions?
It's hard to figure out how to help, at least from my perspective, because I don't know exactly everything involved with what Jerry does with the pre-registration.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody does. Mark, how familiar are you with the process?
I'll tell you in just a second. I'm trying to call Jerry's home. His number is listed on the contact page right now. It's ringing, but let me see if he answers. I'm just hoping he's there. He's probably not, but my guy's answering machine. I'll leave a message for him. I'll be back in a moment.
Okay.
If Martin is, if we can piece together the process, I'm fairly certain we could find people to do it. Even if maybe it can be divided amongst different people. But,
right. Yeah. It
would not be a lot of help if the registrations wind up in his mailbox.
Well, that's one problem. The brochure has his address on it. We can change his address on the website, but no matter what we do, he's going to get some registration. Now, he can turn around. Not that much work.
I'm back. So I left a message for Jerry. We get about three quarters of the registrations online. So it's I don't remember the exact numbers, but the website page from the last couple of years shows what the numbers are. But we don't get that many from mail or fax. A lot of the ones we do get from mail or fax are the couple of youth members. Couple of youth groups, I mean.
Handle them separately this year.
And are those going to go through you, John, directly?
I have a volunteer to handle it, yeah.
Okay. So those are not going through Jerry then?
I had planned to have this volunteer work in between the youth groups and Jerry.
Right, okay.
Again, Jerry is the only as far as I know. How familiar are you?
What Jerry does is maintains a spreadsheet. And in each of the last few years, he has periodically, once a week more or less, sent me a copy of his spreadsheet so I could pull the numbers out and post them on the web for the board and other people to see. So basically he has this big spreadsheet which has, each person who's registered and, 50 columns, one for each possible item and each possible payment and stuff like that. So all the information is mostly there. He pulls some of it off from the online registrations because he includes those as well as the mail-in and fax registrations. The mail-in and fax ones are the ones that will, by default, go to him unless we change something.
Right. So we
the e-faxes go to Jim?
Yes.
And e-faxes, but we don't use e-faxes for the registration.
Okay.
Right. And
we use Jerry's own fax number. That's on the brochure.
For what it's worth, I've received two payments so far through the P.O. box that were for store orders, which included a Fest package each. But those are the only two I've seen. But, of course, if they paid by PayPal, then I would not have seen those come through the store.
Mm-hmm. And did you forward them to Jerry or keep track of them or something?
I just updated the status in the online store.
Oh, okay. The store has that information.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Okay, so
we have what we need to have someone else take over some of these responsibilities. In other words, really all we need is a spreadsheet and somebody to get the online registrations and enter that information into the spreadsheet.
That's what it sounds like. I really wish Jerry were here so that we could, you know.
Yeah.
Talk to him about it, but I mean, I'm glad to keep plugging away at trying to call him as well. I have found that the best time to usually catch him is like on a Sunday, say afternoon. For some reason, I'm able to catch him by phone then, but during the week, I usually don't have any luck.
I have a feeling that he's not home till late,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know what time you can call him semi-late to try to get him.
Late for me.
The thing is, we don't know what's going on. Maybe the IJA is not the most critical thing in his life right now, but we really need to get this, to get on top of this immediately.
Yeah.
Well, we need somebody that is going to be able to at least answer email on a consistent basis. I mean, I would be extremely stressed out if I was a festival director, and I bet this, you know, has created some anxiety for you, John. I'm a little stressed out about this now. Just, you know, I feel like it's time to make this happen, and, you know, I would love to have Jerry do it, but I feel as though there needs to be another option. I would be volunteer to help in any way I can. I have to tell you, though, I'm not good at spreadsheets, and I'm just not good at
Sandy,
that.
Sandy, you're overloaded.
Yeah, I know, but
it needs to be somebody who's thorough, you know. And it seems like when Jerry's got time, he can do this. But I'm wondering if he has time.
Right.
The best thing to do is simply eventually get into contact with Jerry somehow, and just find out what his situation is. If there's help that we can give him, we'll give him the help.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no help that we can give him, then maybe we'll just offer to let him off the hook.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. That's the best thing to do. We need to talk to him about it and find out what his take on all this is, whether there's a problem that we need to fix or whether he's just overwhelmed.
Now, one thing that we could do is have somebody else do the spreadsheet for online registrations, and have Jerry just do mail-in and fax registrations. This would be a lot smaller number, and you know, what we would probably do is set up the email address registrar to go to both people, so that probably the other person would be the person responding to most emails. But this way, it would be just the fax and mail things that Jerry would be responsible for, assuming he has some time to do those, and with the youth groups not going through him, that would be even less work for him, and hopefully he could stay caught up doing those things. The thing is, it's very hard to get that information to anybody else without involving Jerry, unless somebody in his community can just like come over to his house once a week and pick up all his mail and faxes.
Right.
So maybe if we can't contact Jerry, but we get a hold of somebody else who's in his area that is in his juggling club or whatever, and has some way of knowing what's going on.
That's a good idea, too.
Kim, do you mind taking the lead on trying to contact Jerry?
Oh, I have no problem doing that. I'd like to take care of that.
Okay, thank you.
So I will keep calling Jerry.
Do you have
I'd be happy to maintain the spreadsheet if that's helpful, although it sounds like, you know, getting the information from Jerry is going to be challenging anyway. But for what it's worth, I do have an accurate record of all of the registrations that have been paid for through PayPal, and to date I have 27 package plans paid for, all but two of which have come through PayPal. So the only thing I wouldn't have here is anything that's gone directly to Jerry that is a check or a credit card payment.
Right.
Okay. You're incredible, Holly.
All right. John, anything else? I'll keep plugging away at contacting Jerry, and as soon as I get in touch with him, I will let you know, John, and I will let everybody else know as well.
Thank you. I think that's all I have for festival, unless anybody else.
The only thing I want to chime in with as far as the festival topic is for 2008, I just signed on the 16th the hotel contract. I had sent, I believe, I know I talked this over with John and all, and sent out contracts to a few people. I believe I sent them to the entire board. Originally, our food and beverage for the hotel was at $21,000, and our room nights were very high. I don't remember the exact number.
14.
What was that, John?
$1,450.
That's right, $1,450. I knew it was around $1,500. Managed to get the food and beverage minimum down to $15,000. And managed to get the room night to, I want to say that's 1,040.
Yeah, it's over 1,000. Yeah,
the minimum. So the hotel contract has been signed. I checked with Todd and John and Tim First, also looked through the contracts for legal language and whatnot. The LCC contract did not have to be signed by the 16th. So I'm still working with the person there at LCC to clarify some things in that contract.
Okay. Big job. Thank you, Kim.
Nice. Thank you. All right. Moving on to finances. Holly.
I promise I won't go on as long as I did last time.
Take as much time as you need.
The first thing is I'm trying to get first quarter financials ready in time for the next issue of Juggle, and I'm going to need help from everybody in getting that done. And what that means specifically is from Sandy, I need the DVD count on hand, S331. You and I have already discussed that.
Huh?
From Jim and Marilyn, I just need a little sheet from each of you so I can accrue any income you have in hand as of 331.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? It was cutting out a little bit.
Sorry, I need a transmittal sheet from one from Jim and one from Marilyn from anything that you have on hand as of March 31st. Even if the deposits aren't made, that's fine. Just email me the transmittal sheet that shows what you've got in your hand.
Sure.
From Jerry, I need a copy of the fest registration spreadsheet and a transmittal sheet for any credit card transactions or checks that he's got. Also, in the last batch of credit cards that were sent to him, there were $178 in bad credit card numbers, and I don't know what the status of those is. He was going to follow up on those, so somehow we need to get those cleaned up.
They're from where? They're from when?
From last year
or from this year?
From this year. Jim, it was in the last batch that you sent, and I don't remember what the date was.
Yeah, I can look that up right quick.
I may have it here also. But it is from this year. It was just sent to him in the last month or so, I guess. Sometime in February it went to him.
Yeah, it was, that's not it. It was February 22nd, I believe.
Okay. And he processed most of what was on that transmittal sheet, but I know that there were a handful of them that did not go through, so those need some follow-up. And then from everybody, I need an email from each of you as of March 31st for any expenses that you're needing reimbursement for. so that I can get those accruals done for the first quarter. So if you have any receipts in hand, just email me the information. You'll still need to send me the receipts in order to get reimbursement, but I want to know about it as of March 31st so I can get the financials done quickly.
Yeah. I'll have a good one, a good-sized one for you.
Yeah. So that's it on the first quarter financials. Any questions about any of that before I move on?
Nope, sounds great.
Okay. The issue of PayPal transactions that are not showing up in the store is sort of ongoing and concerning a little bit, and I just kind of need to figure out how to go about troubleshooting it and getting it fixed. And I know there have been a lot of emails going around about it, but it just seems to be ongoing. So if anybody has ideas about how to work through those issues, that would be a great help.
Do you have an idea of how many, what percentage of transactions have problems?
Well, it varies. In January and February, actually, there were, I would say about 20 transactions, most of which I've gotten cleared up. I still have one outstanding from January and four from February, and I have two from March. So it's not a lot of transactions, but it just seems to keep happening. And sometimes I find the transactions in unsold carts, but often when that happens, they're for a different dollar amount than what shows up in PayPal. And I'm not sure how that happens. I don't know how they can, how you can transmit the payment that doesn't match the store order.
My guess is that the unsold cart is exactly that. It's an unsold cart, and they came back, and they, you know, maybe from a different web browser, they bought the real thing from a different, and so they have another cart. Or so, I don't know how the cart stuff works. Maybe that's not possible, but...
Well, wouldn't I then see if their completed order in the store?
Well, yeah. I mean, we know that it's losing something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know why it's not showing up at all.
Okay.
Can we get some support from OS Commerce on this?
OS Commerce is a free, is an open source free
for it.
Product.
Oh.
So we get one thing we could conceivably do is reinstall it, but the concern there is that this is not a great time to be reinstalling it, and David didn't install it in the first place.
Yeah.
Dave installed it, or maybe Ron installed it. Ron Harvey, the previous webmaster, or Joyce, I'm not sure.
Dave and Joyce. Together, put that together.
Yeah.
And at that, and maybe we have a, maybe there's a slightly better version out now, but David said he was having trouble figuring out even what version it is.
Behind on that.
What's that?
We're two or three versions behind on it to hear it.
But these are minor versions, I think. But there may be some fixes that would help. But it's very untoward that we lose these transactions, I have to say.
Yeah, and, you know, if the emails are going out to whoever needs to get them, then it's not quite that big a deal because, for example, if I get a PayPal payment for a membership and either, well, Jim wouldn't have gotten it, but if Marilyn and Mike get the email and the membership gets set up, then we're okay.
Well, this is Jim. I do get email from PayPal, but I just filter them off to a folder, and I seldom even look at them because I know Mike and Marilyn also get them and take care of it. But
yeah,
she's talking about emails from the store, not from PayPal.
That's right.
Oh, I see.
Sandy gets them from the store, as maybe do a couple other people. But for instance, this person in Japan, Gilbert Gillies,
mm-hmm.
There was no email apparently generated from his order this year. And we just see the PayPal payment, and we have no idea what he ordered.
Right.
Except I guess.
And on the flip side, what I don't know is whether it's possible that there are orders going into the store and showing as paid, but in fact there's no PayPal transaction matching them. And I wouldn't know if that's happening. So that's the other reason that it concerns me a lot, is that we may very well be sending out free memberships or free festival registrations or, you know, whatever the...
You don't have any reason to believe that direction is a problem, right?
I don't have any reason to believe that, except that I wouldn't have any way of knowing it. You know,
well,
if I'm not getting a payment, then I have no reason to look for it. So,
right. I mean, you could go back and look through all of the things in the store and look for their matching payments in PayPal.
I could do that. It would be really time-consuming.
Yeah, yeah.
Get hundreds of PayPal transactions.
Is there, it's Kim, is there any way that PayPal themselves can give us a hand with finding what's going on? Is there a customer service number or something?
This is not a PayPal issue.
Yeah, it's, I don't think the problem is the PayPal. So.
It's always commerce. I mean, it could be something as weird as, you know, somebody almost completes their order, and then they go back, and then they do forward or something, and somehow the store thinks it's already recorded their order or something, and the PayPal payment gets made, but the store transaction doesn't get made.
I mean, maybe we need to go in and do some testing, you know, just put in some orders and do different things like that to see what happens.
Right.
In any case, I've done that a few times. What's that?
If I've done that, I've tried that recently. I go in and I order some stuff, and I get so far, and then I back out, and you know, I'm in the unsold carts page.
Yeah, I saw your name there today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have? So is that thing you had in the unsold carts, Sandy, is that something you actually didn't push through?
No, I didn't push it through. I was just playing around, and I just wanted to see, okay, is this going to show up in unsold carts, and it did. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that part worked.
Yeah.
Right. Well, in any case, Martin, can I follow up with you and whoever else feels like they could contribute to a solution on this?
Yeah, I mean, all I can suggest, I mean, really, we should probably talk to David about, you know, possibilities of upgrading or something like that. Mm-hmm. If we upgrade or, you know, better, cleaner yet would be to reinstall, but that would mean copying all the current data from the old database into the new or something like that, which may cause problems of its own. But, you know, we could play around with some, you know, tries, some attempts to make it fail. And if we can figure out what makes it fail, we can work on that.
Yeah. Okay. Last thing that I have on my list is just a note that the transition of all the bank accounts to my name or to me as administrator is taking a good deal of time. So that transition has not happened in all cases yet. And I'm just going to keep plugging away at that until it's done. They all seem to want a copy of something from the other one. You know, PayPal wants something from Bank of America showing that I'm the administrator, and Bank of America wants it from someone else. So it's this circular loop that I'm in. But anyway, that'll get done. I just wanted the board to be aware that it's not done yet. So various names are still on the bank accounts.
Is your name on any of them?
My name is on them as a user, but not as administrator in all cases. But I do have access to all of the bank accounts under my own name.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you do have full access to the PayPal account?
I do, yes. The only thing I can't do on the PayPal account is put a credit card on it, because it used to have Alan Howard or
Dan Howard.
Dan Howard's credit card on it, and I can't put mine on until I get his name off, and they're requiring a tremendous amount of paperwork to get his name off and my name on. The downside of not having a credit card attached to it is that in some cases, if we want to make purchases from another website, you can't do that without a credit card on the PayPal account. But we don't run into that very often, and we have other ways of paying for things, so I don't think that's a big issue. But otherwise, I do have full access to the PayPal account. Yes.
But Dan's name is still on it.
It is, yes.
Is he listed as the administrator, or are you the administrator, or what?
I believe he is still listed as the administrator.
Okay.
Yeah. Even though it's got my address and my phone number and, you know, it's got all my information except not my name and not my credit card.
And it sounds like that's coming, but it's just taking a while to wade through their paperwork.
Right. It's PayPal that wants a copy of a bank statement from Bank of America with my name on it, and I've changed the information with Bank of America, and I'm waiting for the next statement to come so I can give that to PayPal. That's all I've got.
Okay. Thank you,
Holly.
Thank you so much, Holly.
You're welcome.
Okay. Jim, do you have anything for membership?
I can tell you that membership is pretty much static. As of today, we've got 1,722 membership records that are active, and that's up 5 records from January. The activity in the P.O. box has slowed down quite a bit. We've gotten most of the most of the changes of address and things like that that Martin solicited and updates to email that Martin solicited by the postcards. And other than that, things are just kind of coasting. I can tell you that some things that we're going to have to deal with in the near future are some issues with the way that the online, the forums, forum database, and the online store database are maintained. Right now, Scott is having to do those manually on the store side, and I'm having to do the forum side. They set up an interface for me to do that, on the forum side. And essentially, right now, we're just taking it as problems arise. And when somebody says, hey, I can't log into the forum, then I either edit their account with their new email address or I create a record for them. And same thing with the store. But the issue with the store becomes problematic because there's no way of knowing when somebody's membership becomes inactive, and having them stop receiving the membership pricing on the store, which I don't think that's, you know, I don't think that's a problem, a huge problem, because most people that aren't members aren't going to the store, but nonetheless, it's a problem. And so I'm not sure how to really address that and fix that problem. Back to the initial issue of somehow integrating the memberships database with the forum database with the store database.
Okay.
That's going to happen in our lifetime.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I say that's basically not going to happen in our lifetime.
Yeah.
There's probably ways that we can get around it, but I don't think we're going to integrate them.
With the old website, what I did was basically every, couple of weeks or month, I updated the database entirely. It was a simpler thing, but I basically put in the entire current membership database that I would get from Mike, and we just used member names and their 7-digit account numbers, I guess, as their access code, and that's how they accessed the store prices, the member prices in the store. The
problem is with OS Commerce, it uses its own database.
Right.
So you have to find a way of hooking that as well as the
database. Yeah, no, I agree.
Database.
But for the forum, it might be possible to, in fact, just replace, you know, all the members with their, you know. The issue is I've also been giving out forum passwords because I know that all the members were put into the forum database in 2005. And so I have all the 7-digit access codes from 2005. And if somebody's been a member since then, I know they're in there with that access code. If they've never gotten access, I send them their 2005 7-digit code, and usually they're in. So I don't actually have to change it.
Right. Part of the problem with that is that they don't always notify you. They just put in their email address to get a new password sent to them.
I know.
And if they've updated their email address and it doesn't match, then they get nowhere.
Yep.
That's a subject for another.
Right. Trip. It's a long discussion.
Yeah, and it's one that maybe.
We can.
It sounds like one that maybe David Landown should be around for as well.
We can do that online in the website forum.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else, Jim?
That's it for me.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Anything from the store, Sandy?
Not too much. It's very slow right now. Orders are trickling in. I had 3 orders this week. The site swap and the EJC 2006 DVDs aren't really selling too well. I've sold 2 of each. I've had them probably, 3 or 4 weeks. I know Andrew would certainly like to see them sell a little better, but right now sales are down with all aspects of the DVDs. So that's about it for right now. Very slow and nothing else much going on. I think that I'm not exactly sure when the People's Choice
DVD is coming out, I will be receiving those. But after that, I think that we'll be probably looking for somebody else to continue take over the 2007 DVD.
Okay.
Do you think that the DVDs aren't selling very well because we're now offering the DVDs as part of the festival package?
No, I think that it's just a seasonal trend, frankly. I think we had a really fantastic January sale, and sales fell off immediately after that. And it'll be interesting to see throughout this year what happens with the trend. I mean, I've been shipping them out since about August, September, and, you know, it picked up as one would expect in December. Very big in January, and you know, I think that it'll, right now I think people are focusing on the festival packages. That's mostly what's coming in through the store and memberships. So
and in the next juggle that comes out right before the fest, Catherine Fernie has done a very nice half page ad for the EJC DVD and the Siteswap DVD.
Oh, good. Okay.
So that, you know, that's just about all cleaned up.
Uh-huh.
In the, historically, video sales have always dropped dramatically in January. Like,
uh-huh.
You know, Alan Plotkin, who used to ship them, would report that, you know, hardly anybody would buy after the holiday season. So this is not unusual. The fact that we had a sale in January, of course, pushed sales up a lot, but I think this is just normal.
Right. The numbers I posted for December, January, February sales, those numbers have slightly shifted. Holly and I essentially went through just about every DVD sale, and we found a few that I had that she didn't have, so we cleaned everything up immensely, and we just have a little bit more cleaning up to do, and then I'll be able to repost those numbers with a high level of confidence. So that's about it.
Very good.
This is Jim. Just very quickly, Sandy, I think I probably forgot to send you an email when I recently processed a check from Thomas Buss. His check did come in, and so it is now in the store as paid shipment pending. I apologize. I think I forgot to send it.
Thomas Buss. Okay, sure. I'll get that.
Great. And
I know Bob Newman has one coming in, too.
That is for the Siteswap DVD.
Oh, yes. I've been expecting that one. Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay, good. I'll send it out.
All right. Thanks, Sandy.
You're welcome.
The e-newsletter, Don.
The newsletter is ongoing. The March issue is being put together as we speak. And we can send it out next week.
Fantastic. Okay, very good. And it looks great. You're doing a great job with it.
Yeah, it looks great.
Getting too many submissions for it, mind you. But I still think it's a valuable thing to do.
I've heard a number of people, since I sent them out, I got a few replies back saying, you know, it's great to get this. And some people just send me personal email or tell me in person. So I think people are appreciating it. I haven't seen too many complaints saying, don't send these to me. One or two people said, you know, they're not interested in the IJ anymore. But other than that, I think it's doing a good job.
Yeah, I think so, too. I get probably two or three email changes per month, and they specifically cite that they don't want to miss the e-newsletters. So.
That's good.
Yeah, and I up at the New York Fest a couple weekends ago, heard a lot of people saying a lot of good things about the e-newsletter. They were excited about it. They thought it was a great way to communicate with the members. And they thought it was a great addition to the magazine because they saw the magazine as being, you know, more juggling in general, and the e-newsletter as actually being IJA and IJA-related business information, you know, festivals, where can they go. So good job.
Okay, it sounds like we're getting that right.
We still are missing email addresses for a lot of people, and I would like to continue pushing that to try to get more of those email addresses, maybe some, you know, thing at the festival or whatever we can, basically.
How many are you missing, about 300?
Oh, much more than that. I can't tell you right offhand, but I can tell you in a couple of minutes.
The thing that we can do is to take a specific newsletter, print it up, and send it out to those people and say, hey, this is what you're missing, guys. Get your email addresses in.
That's a good idea. Okay. Are we ready to move on?
Yep.
Okay. I had hoped that I had left a message asking if Jerry would give an update on the affiliates as well, since we haven't had an update on affiliates in a while.
It's going to be short.
Yeah, it's going to be very short. let's move right along. I asked Will, and I asked him on very short notice, like 2 days ago, if he could just give us a brief update on the phone program that we approved several months ago, just so we know what's going on with it, if anything. So, Will?
Yeah, I'd be happy to give you an update. Unfortunately, it's not as positive as the e-newsletter update. What my method was is I got a list of all the emails and phone numbers of the IJA members once I got the phone, and I started basically alphabetically by name and started going down and would send out maybe 10 emails to the first few people, asking them, sort of explaining what I was going for, and asking them if they had any time available for me to call them. And the most positive response I got was actually in response to the email, where people said, oh, that's a great idea. Really glad that you're making the effort to, personally connect with people. Beyond that, though, it was difficult, I found, to actually get in touch with them. For those who did leave a good time, I had a difficult time getting them in person, and when I left a message, they never really called me back. So after a few rounds of those emails, I sort of abandoned that, and since then, my phone has been used more, like my phone number has been used more as like a general questioning sort of help line. I think for a while my phone number was listed somewhere on the website because I started getting random phone calls, like from people wondering, various issues. So a few days ago I got a phone call asking, why this guy hadn't received a magazine in a while. And was he overdue or what? Because hadn't had one in a while. So I called him back, told him, well, we've changed the way we're doing the magazine now, so don't worry, you should get one soon. Ever since then, that's basically been my role with the phone. So I guess if anyone has a pressing need for it, then I don't anymore. Right now I'm content to have it just be used. If anyone has any questions, they call that. Yeah, that's the status.
Well, thanks for giving this a go, Will. I think we all appreciate the fact that you're willing to give this a try.
Yeah.
It
was definitely worth the try. I mean, at least now if anyone asks, we can say, it was attempted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd
like to point out that kind of buoys my belief that although the membership in general approves of the philosophy of the IJA being open and in communication with the membership all the time and getting feedback and all, the members individually really just want us to do a good job, and they don't really want to be all that involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. The few people I did get in touch with it was a positive experience. I talked to one guy from trying to remember his team name. He was part of a team. I don't remember. Anyway, he entered a younger guy, and so I let him know about the change in rules that we had just put in place at that time, which was very recent, of how competitors aren't allowed to use copyrighted music. So he appreciated that since he hadn't heard about it before. Yeah, so I don't consider it a failure. I mean, half of an experiment is just to figure out whether something will work. So got a definite answer, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Thanks for trying that, Will. I have one comment, and that is if someone calls you and says, how come I haven't gotten a magazine lately, please forward their, or if they send you email specifically, please forward their email or have them contact either Jim or Mike or me, because we have the actual database and we can look it up and see if their membership has expired. And, I mean, if they tell you, well, you know, my last magazine was the November-December issue, then you know that there hasn't been an issue since then, except there's now one in the mail. But if they just say, I don't remember when the last one was, but I haven't gotten one in a while, then you don't have a way of telling when their membership expires. I mean, it is printed on their membership label, but if they don't look that up, we can actually, Jim, Mike, and I can actually check that.
Okay,
we can,
yeah, sure.
We can let them know when it actually expires.
Will, this is Sandy. Did you say that you don't need the phone anymore?
Right. If someone else needs it, that's fine.
I could use the phone.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know if the board's okay with it. I find that I've been going over my personal minutes. I use my personal cell phone, my business phone, to make IJA calls. And, God, I just can't. I'm either going to have to start paying for more minutes on my phone, or I could really use that phone.
Yeah.
Like,
Between the store things that Sandy's doing plus the
festival
fest director as well, that's a lot of phone time.
Unless anybody else needs it more than I do. I mean, does anybody else need it?
I vote Sandy gets it.
Oh, I'm fine with Sandy.
I love you. Sandy, why don't you send me an email with your address
and I
can get that in the mail for you.
No rush. That'll be great, though. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Will.
Martin, do you know if there's a no charge for the IJA phones to talk to each other at any time?
There is no charge for talking to any other Sprint cell phone. So all of the IJA phones can talk to each other for free at any time, but they can also talk to any other Sprint cell phone for free.
Is it Sprint? I thought it was Verizon.
No, they're all Sprint.
Sprint, okay.
Within the U.S.
Great.
Okay.
And they're also calls are free after 7 p.m. local time, wherever your phone is, and on weekends.
Thank you.
Okay. Fantastic.
And we're not using many minutes. I mean, we're using typically 150 of our 2,500 minutes a month. Now, in the past, we've used up to 1,500 or 2,000, usually just before the fest. The phones are sort of nominally there because we expect the fest director to use them a lot. But, John, I don't know if you're expecting to use yours. At some point we may want to reduce our minutes. We're paying almost $200 a month for these, which is way more than, for instance, we're paying for the membership online database.
Yeah, I have. I've been using my own phone almost exclusively, and I'm not running over the minutes that I have. But
okay.
I do expect that as we get closer to the festival, I'll need the IJA phone. I don't think I'll be going near 2,000 minutes a month if you want to look into reducing that.
I'm not expecting you to use 2,000 minutes, but, you know, we of course didn't want to run over because they're expensive after that, so we have 2,500 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Jim, and I have not been using the IJA phone either. I've been using my personal phone and not coming near my monthly minutes.
So, Sandy, there's a lot of minutes available.
Yeah, I'll use them up. Let me show you how I can use them.
And it's free after 7 p.m., so it's, you know, it doesn't even charge against the 2,500.
Okay. All right. We ready to move on then? All right. There is no continuing business. Going on to new business. Item 7A, we need a motion to accept the attached agreement between the IJA and Jason Garfield with regards to the People's Choice DVD being produced by the IJA. And I have that as attachment A. We need someone to make the motion.
I'll make the motion, Don.
Okay.
I'll second.
Jim seconds. And discussion.
This is Don. I would suggest probably changing it such that we change the part guaranteeing 10 seconds of the thing used to allowing Andrew at his discretion to use up to 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it sounds as if he is indeed going to, you know, take a look at that.
Yeah, it's a creative decision. We will attempt to honor Jason's request, but not at the expense of ruining our video.
Yeah.
Okay.
We will do it in good faith, and we will expect Jason to return the good faith in whatever he's doing for us.
That sounds good to me.
It also mentions over the first and last 10 seconds, and do you want to change that to be also at Andrew's discretion?
Yes.
Because it seems sort of redundant to do both, and to do 10 seconds of both seems like excessive.
That's a long time.
No, I think if we can approve it at the discretion of the producer, we should be good.
You want to propose a new wording for that item?
Off the top of my head. A link to Jason Garfield's website will be superimposed at the discretion of the producer, not to exceed 10 seconds at the beginning and the end of the footage used.
And or the end?
And this is Jim. There has been some discussion on the forum about the fact that we already have the right to use, and that doesn't negate the fact that we want to go ahead and clear it with Jason, but perhaps we should change the wording also to say that Jason Garfield agrees to the use of the footage from his second place routine as captured on video during the 2000 IJA competition and so forth, as opposed to he grants us permission, because the point has been made that we already have the permission, that we're just courteously asking, you know, for his approval.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm of two minds on that, because we do have the permission. The fact that we are signing a contract that allows him to grant us permission, it's sort of an overlay.
Right.
You know, it's not really taking anything away from us. I don't think it's creating any precedent. But the fact that he wants to use some of our footage, and mm-hmm. we are respectfully asking him if he would like his footage on our tape, this gives us a balanced contract. So I don't see that it's creating a precedent legally. Morally, it may be. But then morally, we are already following our conscience by asking people if they're willing to participate, even though we could force them to.
Okay.
So what your argument is that this doesn't have any legal ramifications on restricting our already existing rights?
I don't believe so.
Okay. I would hope that to be the case. I don't have no way to tell.
I am no lawyer, so I'm not going to cast that in stone, but they signed a release, and they signed it.
Yep.
And I this is Kim. When I first read this, I was kind of taken aback and thought, wow, we already have the right to use this video footage. But then I saw it as being just, you know, both sides saying, here's what you're getting and here's what you're using. I see this as more of an agreement rather than a contract. I know that's being picky with words, but...
Well, it seems to me like it should be a win-win. Right? We're going to have a product out there that has Jason on it. He's going to create a product that has us on it. How is either of us going to lose?
Right. Okay, Chuck, did you get the change in wording there?
I sure hope so.
I believe that was an item number three, I believe.
Yes.
just the first sentence.
Yeah.
At the discretion of the producer?
Yes.
Can you read the whole sentence?
One second. Okay. A link to Jason Garfield's website will be superimposed over the first and last 10 seconds of footage used at the discretion of the producer.
I think I had up to a maximum of 10 seconds at over the first and last 10 seconds.
First and or last.
Yeah.
This gives him the option of only doing one.
Yeah.
So a link to Jason Garfield's website will be superimposed up
for,
to 10...
Oh.
Superimposed
over,
for,
to the first.
How about this? A link to Jason Garfield's website will be superimposed over the first and or last 10... Over up to... Okay, sorry. Will be superimposed for up to 10 seconds over the first and last portion of the footage used.
That sounds good.
At the discretion of the producer.
Okay, is that 10 seconds total?
Well, it could be.
From
that way that's stated now.
Why don't we say a link to Jason Garfield's website will be superimposed for up to 10 seconds at the beginning or end of the footage used at the discretion of the producer.
And or...
Put the and or in there.
At the beginning and or last 10 seconds.
Although, if we're being picky, the at the discretion of the producer or whatever at the end is unclear of whether it's referring to the footage used or to the time second interval. You know what I mean? Yeah, clearly it should be to the footage used. Yeah, I'm just saying the way the sentences work. We only use 5 seconds of footage. We can't put 10 seconds of video on. You're right, but, I mean, you could read it to say, well, whatever the producer decides to include in the footage of that, 10 seconds, either at the beginning or the end, be used. Instead of, obviously, of his performance...
How about this?
Gresham, you know what I'm saying?
How about this? A link to Jason Garfield's website will be superimposed at the discretion of the video producer to cover the first and or last up to the first and or last 10 seconds of footage used.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
That one sounds
bold.
That sounds like a keeper.
Can you repeat it one more time? Sorry.
A link to Jason Garfield's website will be superimposed at the discretion of the video producer over
up to
the first and last 10 seconds of the footage used.
First and or last.
And or last 10 seconds.
We have too many modifiers to make it really easy to understand.
Did you get that, Chuck?
I'm trying to like paste and copy and get everything down and
okay.
Not really getting it yet. So, give me just 1 second. Can you replay it one more time? This will be it. I promise.
A link to Jason Garfield's website will be superimposed at the discretion of the video producer over up to the first and or last 10 seconds of the footage used.
Got it.
Yeah, it's a little awkward, but I think we know what it means.
Do you want to read back?
Yes, please.
A A link to Jason Garfield's website will be superimposed at the discretion of the video producer over up to the first or last 10 seconds used. URL will be superimposed as follows, www.jasongarfield.com.
Not quite.
It was an and or in there.
Up to the first and or last 10 seconds of the footage used. That's what Jim said.
Okay.
I love the over up to part. Can you put some more prepositions in there?
Oh, wow. Hello, is somebody coming in?
Maybe somebody dropped out.
Did somebody drop out?
Okay, a link to Jason Garfield's website will be superimposed at the discretion of the video producer over up to the first and or last 10 seconds used.
Of the footage used.
Of the footage used. Of the footage used. Okay.
The second sentence remains unchanged.
Yeah. All righty. Everybody's okay with that? Any more discussion of this contract with Jason? If not, I'd like it to pass by unanimous consent. Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes by unanimous consent. Moving on to item 7B, we need a motion for the board to utilize an online survey company, www.speedsurvey.com, to conduct an email survey of present and recent former members to get member input on various IJA topics. I, Kim, will donate the cost of the online service of $20. See attachment
B. John Petriano.
Hello, John. See attachment B for survey questions. And I know there's been a lot of discussion about the questions, and I expect it there to be. So is there a motion so we can discuss this?
This is Jim. I move.
Okay.
John seconds.
And as I said, I know there's been a lot of discussion about the questions and what we should ask and what we shouldn't ask. And that was part of the reason why the survey, the volunteer survey, never went out during last year's board. Jim, I don't know if you remember some of those discussions, but I still have that survey that Joyce made up, and we never utilized it. So are there any comments about these questions, about the idea of doing a survey?
Kim, does Speed Survey offer any help in how to state the questions and what kinds of answers to allow? Because I know the way the questions are stated can have a huge impact on the outcome and the interpretation. And presumably someone who is a professional at developing surveys would have a better understanding of that than we do.
I have not called them to actually ask them that. Mm-hmm. On their website, they do say that they will give you assistance in constructing the survey.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't, you know, talked to someone from the company to actually ask them that.
That may just be technical assistance.
Yeah, so I'm willing to, you know, call them and find out. Mm-hmm. And that's a good idea, because people that are in the survey business should know how to word them properly so that you have the least amount of bias in them.
And I imagine we can get a fair amount of help just on the open forum.
Mm-hmm. And we have. I mean, some people have made some very good, they've really looked at the questions, and even Dave Walbridge chimed in at one point on the forum and made some suggestions that made some very good sense. So,
the meeting that I had with Scott Plappinger and his friend the other day, like I said, this woman has run her own nonprofit organization for 10 years, and she's become very expert at raising funds and membership drives and stuff like that. And she's willing to help us. One of the things she said right off the bat was, you should do a survey. And I said, oh, that's interesting, because we happen to be developing survey right at this moment. And she said, I'd be happy to go over the questions and help you. She said, is the goal of the survey that you're doing to find out what the membership wants? And I said, yes. And she said, great, I can help you with that.
Well, that's wonderful.
And she would do this for free, right?
She would. Scott actually brought that up. Halfway through the meeting, she started saying, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And Scott said, whoa, how do we become we? and she said, oh, this is an interesting project. I don't mind getting involved with this and helping you guys out.
That's great.
Okay, the only modification that I would make in this motion is that the IGA can afford to pay the damn $20. I don't
You're turning down a donation?
If it's going to be our information, we should pay for it.
Yep.
I have no problem with that. I was being nice. I'll put
the 20. I appreciate you being nice. You know,
no.
This is our stuff. We should pay for it.
And I understand that. Bottom line was, I didn't want cost to be an issue. I know it's a very minimal cost, but I really didn't want cost to be a reason for anyone to say, no, we shouldn't do this. So, you know, if there were other reasons, that's fine. But
your concern is duly noted, and we thank you for it.
Thank you.
So, given that we're going to seek some help with these in formulating these questions, do we table this motion?
I was going to suggest possibly tabling that.
I wouldn't table it. I would direct Holly to, or not Holly, Kim to go ahead and develop questions and report back. But there's no reason we can't support it right now. We want to do this.
I agree.
Okay.
Okay. I'm fine with that. Sounds good. Jim, is it okay if we take that sentence out? Does everybody agree with Don that we should pay our own $20?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any more discussion on this? I'll be happy to. John, I don't know if you want to give the questions to this volunteer, or if you want me to just get in contact with her, but I'd be happy to, you know, pursue that with her.
Yeah, she's willing to get involved in a number of different ways, and if you wouldn't mind, I'll just put you in touch with her and let you work with her.
Perfect. Okay, so.
And this is Jim. Just one more clarification. Are after you get in touch with her and flesh out these questions, are you still then going to vet it on the open forum?
I would think it would be a good idea.
Okay.
Don't you?
Yeah, I agree. I just wanted to get that clarified.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you may never get everybody's agreement on the open forum, but it certainly would not be a bad idea to post them there.
Yeah.
It goes without saying that we won't get total agreement on the open forum.
Yeah, I mean, I already posted these questions on there to get feedback. I would like that once we have the questions modified before putting the actual survey out, to again go to the forum and get input.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yep.
Okay. All right, if there's no further discussion, I'd like this motion to pass by unanimous consent. Is anyone opposed? Abstentions? Okay, motion passes by unanimous consent. Moving on to item 7C, motion that the IJA send extra copies of the Spring Juggle magazine. That's the one that is in the mail right now. Bless you.
Bless you.
To the attached list of schools for promotion of the Winston-Salem Fest, the IJA, and juggling. See attachment C for a detailed plan. We need a motion.
I move.
Don seconds.
Sandy, seconded by Don. and discussion.
We know how much this is going to cost?
This is Sandy. Per magazine is $1.59, sent here domestically, first class. I have received an anonymous donor to pay the cost of this fee.
Sounds like a no-brainer to me.
Yep.
Okay.
Do we know the cost if we wanted to send them two magazines, to send them the spring magazine and the, you know, November-December magazine? Pricing?
Two magazines on my scale right here.
Is it just basically almost double or something like that?
Keep talking with them before I put them on here. You know, let me tell you something. I like to have a beer or two during these meetings. I've had a couple beers tonight. Yeah, I've popped a couple in this time. Okay, 10.5 ounces plus the weight of the envelope, which I don't have right here. So let's say 11 ounces is $2.79.
Okay. So that's two magazines.
Yeah.
$2.79 versus $1.59.
Personally, I would just send them one.
Yeah, I would too.
It's almost twice the cost.
I kind of like the idea of one because of the new juggle. This is the first issue of the complete new magazine, and from what Sandy and I have talked just briefly about it, but it sounds like there's some really neat stuff in the new one. Am I right, Sandy?
Yeah, it's really fun. Well, yeah, it's just a little different, and I enjoyed those small differences, and I think that Alan would like to have some feedback.
Mm-hmm.
From us. He asked me for feedback. He said, please sit down and read this cover to cover. Yeah. There's a really fun little article from Jim Ellison in Columbia, Missouri. He goes to every single festival. It's real fun.
Good. Well, is there any more discussion on the actual motion in front of us?
Doesn't sound like it.
Okay, if not, I'd like this to pass by unanimous consent. All those are, anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Passes by unanimous consent. Item 7D, motion for approval of the agreement between sponsors of the DVD magazine and the IJA, and that's attachment D, which is a draft sent by Andrew. Are there any? Oh, we need the motion first. Sorry.
I'll move.
Okay, we have Jim making the motion. Second?
Oh, second.
Okay, and discussion. Any comment? Seems like a pretty straightforward agreement.
What does it mean that it's a draft? I mean, there are going to be significant changes, because if you're going to approve it, will you need to approve any changes?
I would think that if there are any major changes, we would need to go back and reapprove it. But when Andrew sent this to me, he emailed it and said, this is a draft. So that's why I put it in there that way.
Then let's approve it in principle.
Okay. Should we change the wording of the motion that we approve the draft agreement? Is that necessary?
Or we approve the principle of the draft agreement.
Okay.
And I would...
draft agreement is not modified. We don't need to further approve the final version.
Okay.
We don't need to be referred to again if there's no change.
Okay, so if draft is not...
materially changed.
Materially changed. No further board approval is necessary.
Right.
Lisa.
Okay. Does that sound okay to you, Jim?
Yeah. So tell me if this is basically right, Chuck. Jim Maxwell moves for approval of the principle, or approval in principle, of the draft agreement between sponsors of the DVD magazine and the IJA. And the following sentence, which is, if no revisions are made to this draft agreement, then no further approval is necessary. Does that sound right?
Sounds good to me. Did you get that, Chuck?
Yeah, I'm just finishing it up.
Okay. When you're done, if you could just read it back, please.
Okay. Jim Maxwell moves for approval in principle of the agreement between the sponsors of the DVD magazine and the IJA. If draft has no revision, if I'm mixing some stuff up. Hold on.
I think if draft has no material revision.
Yeah.
The draft has no material revisions. No further board approval is necessary.
That works. Just one more addition to that. In the first sentence, Jim Maxwell moves for approval in principle of the draft agreement.
Right.
And is that principle P-A-L or P-L-E?
P-A-L.
P-L-E.
Take your pick.
Wait, I thought it was P-A-L. I may be wrong.
Dave, you know how to spell?
I defer to the English teacher.
Yeah, well, the English teacher has had a long day.
This is going to go in the discussion if you guys are wrong. Are you agreeing it's A-L or L-E?
We're going to table.
I-L.
I-L?
I'll look it up later. It's fine.
A-L is the guy who gives you the strap.
Yeah, I think it's L-E.
Okay.
Yeah, I deal with the AL kind all the time, so that's my problem.
L-E.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, if not, I'd like to pass by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes by unanimous consent. Okay. And we're to the part where I had said I'd like to add on a motion for approval of the purchase of a new credit card machine. And I'm willing to make that motion. So
I second it.
Tim moves for purchase of new credit card machine.
John Satriano.
Is there a more technical term for that, like a terminal or a processing terminal?
It's not a POS or that, is it, Holly?
I don't know if there's a technical term. I've been calling it a terminal as
okay.
opposed to the printer, which is what I have here. It doesn't do me any good without a terminal.
Okay. So
is it an NAL or an NLE?
So Tim moves for the purchase of a new credit card terminal. Do we need to specify that it would be in the possession of the treasurer?
No, it can be anyone.
Okay. So just Tim moves for the purchase of a new credit card terminal. And we need a second.
A second. Sandy.
Okay. Any discussion on this?
Do we know how much it costs?
Approximately $275 plus supplies.
That's old.
Seems cheap.
Mm-hmm.
My only question is, do we need two?
Well, the one that Jerry has is working, maybe not being used as often as we'd like, but it's working. So unless we want a third location, then I don't know why we need two at this time. We can always buy another one when it's necessary.
But could we get a two for now?
Well, now the bank didn't offer up any special pricing, but I can ask them that.
I always like a twofer.
Well, the question is, can we use a second one? Like, is it going to help Sandy or Jim if they have a terminal?
I get so few credit card orders that I don't really anticipate I would need one.
How many do you get per month?
I can look. I would say probably, like, for instance, this month I've gotten one. But things have slowed down quite a bit. When the holiday season and the membership sale was in full swing, I think I might have gotten 7 or 8.
I can tell you that last year we processed a total of 291 credit card transactions, and that included all the festival.
Yeah, most of those I think are at the festival.
Yeah.
The last transmittal that I sent to Jerry was we had talked about this earlier. It was February 22nd, and there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 transactions for a total of $300 on that. And I think that was the first one that I sent this year. The previous one was in December of just credit card transactions.
And you can send those to Holly. So it doesn't sound like we need a third one.
Yeah. No. Doesn't sound like it, no. It takes, what, 7 memberships to pay for a terminal, so there's no point in...
Yeah, I don't see the reason for 2 at this point.
Okay, if there was a reason, I would support it, but if there's no reason, there's no need.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Any further discussion needed here? If not, I'd like this to pass by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? If not, this passes by unanimous consent.
Good.
Yay. So go ahead and order up that terminal, Holly.
Will do.
And Holly, my next transmittal of credit card transactions, I will send those directly to you, correct?
Well, let me get it set up. I don't know
sure.
How long the processes of ordering the thing and getting it hooked up, so I will let you know as soon as I'm ready to receive them.
Okay. Okay. I think I've got 4. 3 of those were from last month.
Okay.
I usually wait until I get about 6 or 7 before I send them on.
Okay. I'll let you know as soon as I get the terminal and I'm ready to go.
Great. Thanks.
Okay, gang. Is there anything else that we need to discuss tonight? Wow, that's a record for us. All right. Next regular board meeting will be held on April, and I don't have my calendar in front of me.
Maybe the 18th?
18th is looking like the third Wednesday.
Yeah.
Is that okay with everyone? April 18th?
Yep.
That would be okay with me.
Okay. April 18th, that means that agenda items are due to the chair on or before April 8th. That's our 10-day window. And we need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that. That's Dawn.
Okay. Dawn has made the motion. All righty. Meeting is I forgot, didn't I?
Yeah, you forgot an entire item.
What did I forget?
The official setting of the deadlines for the nominations.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You haven't quite adjourned the meeting.
Yeah.
I suggest that people vote against adjourning the meeting.
Okay.
I'll withdraw the motion to adjourn.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that, Martin.
I knew there was something. I couldn't think of what it was.
Okay. So this is going to be item 7F. And how would you like that worded, Martin? Because I know you had the word. The dates are different.
Let me see what I sent.
Yeah, because I'm not in front of my computer right now. I'm sorry. I knew we were ending too early.
Okay, the motion is as follows. If somebody would like to move to permanently amend the IGA pre-election, this, by the way, this is going to be almost identical to a motion we passed last month that changed the dates. I'm going to change. We're going to be changing them again. So the wording, you can copy Chuck out of last month's board meeting, just change the dates in it. So the motion is to move to permanently amend the IGA pre-election and election regulations as follows. Change the nomination submission deadline for candidates' name to appear on the mail-in ballot from March 31st to April 10th. And also change the candidacy statement submission deadline for a statement to be published in conjunction with the mail-in ballot from April 7th to April 15th.
Okay, that's
it.
Okay.
Bob will propose it.
I'll second it.
John and Sandy seconded it. Any discussion? Okay, if not, I would like this motion to pass by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? If not, motion passes by unanimous consent. Thank you, Martin. Thanks for remembering that just in time.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else for the good of the order? If not, we have our next meeting, April 18th, board agenda items to the chair on or before April 8th. Now we have a motion to adjourn.
Yes, indeed. You can reinsert the motion to adjourn.
Okay. All right. Anyone opposed to that? Wait, I heard a puppy sound there. All right, meeting was adjourned at, I have 9:36 Eastern time.
Close enough. 9:36.
Thank you, everybody.
Good work.
Thank you.
Thank you,
everyone.
Thanks. Have a good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.